next year, the year out of those.
Let's go to Psalm 1. Let's come on. Let's forget all that. Let's go to back to Ecclesiastes 8, 7. I changed my mind. I said 7. We're going to back to verse 29 because you didn't get it yesterday.
And then we're going to do a review.
And then we're going to do a test. A written essay. Verse 29, lo, this only have I found. God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Remember, God hath made, this is the only, there are only two places in the Bible where the word upright is translated. I mean, it's from this word. It's Israel. God hath made man to be Israel. But instead, they sought out many inventions. We studied yesterday in Genesis 3 about what would happen, and then also in Genesis 11 after the fall, after the flood. Now let's go to Psalm 99. See what these many inventions, let's see if we can get a handle on these things called inventions. Now, from a spiritual perspective, an invention is a predetermined course of action that you have, rather than living in a moment-by-moment dependence on God, you predetermine a course of action. That's what an invention is. That's the opposite of taking every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It's the opposite of casting down imaginations. And this is why Paul says that though there are many that have a form of godliness, but deny his power. They deny his ability. And this is, unfortunately, the standard operation in religion. You say you believe in God, but you seek out many inventions. Your whole life, your second-by-second activity is a predetermined course of action. It's got to strike you some place at the deepest part of your being that is sin. Does anybody believe me? Anybody see the like this has like staggering implications?
Yeah, especially when those inventions are used to seek out God.
It doesn't matter what they're used for. You were, again, go back. Except you be converted and become as that darling infant, that little child, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of God. Sanctification is the process not of learning, but of unlearning. It's not of gaining, but of emptying. Until you can stand empty before Him so that that life which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, will be all that is seen. There is no other way. There is no other option. There is nothing else. And the many inventions and the predetermined courses of action that you have taken, the only reason we haven't been destroyed for them is His long-suffering. Because every one of them is rebellion. Every one of them is crucifying the Son of God afresh. Now I challenge you to let this be the last day that you seek out many inventions, that you live in 100% dependence on God, which is really what faith means. All right. Psalm 99. Did I say that? I didn't say that. Maybe I did. What? The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. Let the people be filled with awe. Now, is the Lord reigning in your life, or is the government still on your shoulders? When are you going to understand that faith is 100% dependence on Him and 100% denial of yourself? Oh, but you don't understand, Ole, because I have to do this and this and this, and then I'll get in order for me to do that. No. Then you will never tremble until it's too late. You will never stand in awe until it's over. The Lord reigneth. And this is what it means to say in the New Testament. No one can say except by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is Lord. Anybody can mouth the words, but to say it scripturally means that you live it. And no, Jesus isn't Lord because I have to take care of this. Jesus isn't Lord because you don't understand. I have to do this. And then if I don't have anything to do, then I have to think up something to do so I can do this. So I can do anything and everything other than living in dependence on God and let the Lord reign. Do you really hear me?
What I hear is the real position we usually have is He's co-Lord, and He's there to help us do the things that we decide ought to be done.
I told you never again to mention the footsteps in the sand.
That was an oblique reference.
The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble, or let the people be in awe. He sitteth between the cherubim, let the earth be moved, or be impressed, or let the earthen vessel be in awe again. The Lord is great in Zion, He is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt you the Lord, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar, and they kept his testimonies, and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance on their inventions. Now, we think, because this is the cursed mind, that we call on the Lord for Him to solve something, or enter into something, or to fix something, or to help with something. That's not what calling on the Lord means. You understand how the mind works, how your mind is 100% deception? You automatically, from the time that you first heard of calling on the name of the Lord, you called on Him where something wasn't going the way you wanted it to. Right? Do you understand this? But that's not what this is talking about. Calling on the name of the Lord isn't have anything to do with status or situation. It has to do with a location of sphere. It has to do with all that is all you do. There is no more dependence. There is no more reliance on any predetermined course of action. There is no more agenda. There is no more plan. It is gone. And I can hear Gary saying, well, how can I build these houses or do this work if I don't have a predetermined course of action? The question of the cursed one. The question of the evil one. In that question, in reality, it reveals your unbelief. Even the asking the question reveals that I know nothing about faith. I know nothing about dependence. Somebody must have a response to this. This is kind of awesome.
have an answer to that?
It's none of my business. It's none of your business. What? You're smiling.
I'm going to make it my business.
Go ahead.
That's the reason. That's what the mind says.
Of course.
Part of the craziness of that question is the assumption that it's me building the house. How can I build the house? Well, you're not.
It doesn't matter what it is that you're doing. It's this idea that we've separated life into spiritual and natural. And so, while we have the spiritual stuff that I can do when I go into my prayer closet, and actually, do you understand people actually go and build closets in their house and put little candles and shit on it? The prayer closet is this place under the wings of the cherubim. That's the only prayer closet there is. He spake, and Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name, they called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar, and they kept his testimony. What is his testimony? Did you, when you read, what is his testimony? If the cloud is down, you do nothing. If the cloud is raised, you move. That's his testimony. That's what it means to that's the commandment of God. We just had a situation with Brother Michael. I love to say that. I've never said that before.
Sounds like a monk.
Huh?
Sounds like a monk.
No, I was at a church once, and they were calling me. Oh, it's so good to see you, Brother Anthony. I was supposed to speak there. And it was the pastor. Said, I'm so glad to meet you, Brother Anthony. I listened to your program. Da-de-da-de-da. And I said, if you're in with your family, do you call your brother, your natural brother, brother? Like do I call my sister, Sister Sandra? The only reason you do that, or that man does that, is to convince themselves of the truth. And so, if I say Brother Anthony, or Brother Buckner, or Brother Carlson, or Brother Michael, I'm just proving to everybody around me that I don't really think he's my brother, and I'm trying to effect it by words.
It's a real struggle to picture that, so you have to
try to convince yourself.
You hear me? Do you see how far we've fallen? Well, that didn't make any difference if I say brother this or brother that. Well, it doesn't make any difference if you think about what you're going to do. It doesn't make any difference if you don't see everything is finished. Well, that's crazy. Thou wast the God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. All right, go to Psalm 109. Now 106. The Michael story. I started it.
I'm waiting to hear the
cloud. Michael,
Brother Michael,
it was offered a good job just a couple days ago. And he came and talked to me about it. And I said, but I always say, do you have any doubts? And he said, obviously, I wouldn't be talking to you. What does the Christian say? If there's doubts, you do nothing. It doesn't matter what it is. If there are doubts, you do nothing. That's his guidance. A believer never makes a decision. Down to the smallest details of your life. Well, that can't be. That's too radical. I have to make a decision for Christ. As you've heard me say 100 times, if you have enough strength left to make a decision, your mind will choose the Antichrist, the one that can benefit you. Okay, Psalm 106. Psalm 106 chronicles the sins of Israel while they were in the wilderness. And it chronicles the sins that we are taking because we don't know we're on the mercy seat. So we continue the pattern, the same sins. We can start anywhere, but, well, I'm going to read the whole thing. Praise ye God. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths, as though through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one left of them. They believed his words. They sang his praise. Then they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, and sent leanness into their soul. And they envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan, and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company, and the flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb. They worshipped the molten image. They changed their glory. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said he would destroy them. But Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his words, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Now you got to remember, verse 24 and 25 is while they were still in the wilderness at Mount Horeb, building the calf. And he's saying unto them, they despised the land. In the same way, you are despising the land when you want conditions to be changed, when you have a predetermined course of action, because the scriptures are clear, you are seated with him in the heavenlies now. You are in the New Jerusalem now. Just as they despise the pleasant land, so you despise the pleasant land. Therefore, he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor. Again, the thing about the fornication with the whore. And also ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague brake in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and the plague was stayed. And all this happened, if you believe Paul, for your benefit. So you could see what wanting more than you have, or wanting the conditions you're in to be different, or having a predetermined course of action through your many inventions, what happened to them, and you can rest. They stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed, and that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. sometime look up in all the scriptures that reference Baal Peor and how we studied that and what it means. It'll blow your mind. And remember the verse 29. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen, and learned their works, and served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Remember, that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination unto God. If anything that you think you want is common among the nations, you can bet that it is an abomination unto God. They served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. How? Oh, because they put them in a fire and burned them and put them through Molech? No, because they taught them the ways of the nations. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils and shed innocent blood, and the blood of their sons and of their daughters. You remember, the blood is shed when you withhold, you hate. When you withdraw, you murder. It's the shedding of blood. And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood, and they were defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. This has to trouble some of you. Unless you don't understand it. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen. And they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them. Well, you can read the rest of it in your own time. But I want to make clear that he made man to be Israel, or upright, but they sought out many inventions. In all of the Old Testament, it is about the inventions they sought, which is a picture. Every time you have a predetermined course of action, and it doesn't matter if it's in God's name or in Gary's name or in Kevin's name or in Michael's name or anybody. As long as you have a predetermined course of action, it's a shoo-in that you have sought out many inventions. Have you seen enough to maybe risk this incredible thing and live by faith? Or is there still things that you have to do? Are there still things?
I'm relating to this one way. Coming back from coffee shop this morning, I just got angry. And it's like I'm seeing that anger is an invention used to feed yourself.
All an anger is frustrated greed.
Yeah, it just drives you in there.
I got angry too yesterday.
Frustrated greed. Something wasn't the way you thought it should be.
No, bless you.
Frustrated greed. Greed is simply wanting things to be different than they are at that moment.
I'm angry about the sour milk.
Was your milk also so?
Same milk.
It seems to me that after all the hundreds and hundreds of times I've talked about you drinking sour milk, and maybe God would say, yes, maybe I should really drink some sour milk so that you can see what you're doing.
I thought it was always figurative.
I thought it was always figurative.
There's the problem.
If you heard this morning, it's really important. If you didn't hear, forget it. Just go about your business.
So again, every morning Angela leaves and she says, so what's the plan for the day? I'm always so frustrated because it doesn't matter if I have a plan or not. It's not going to happen.
Can I have some tacos?
Is it a joke?
It's just small talk. That's why I love small talk so much.
Yeah.
How you doing today, Ollie? Get away from me.
Brother Ollie.
John? Any response to all this?
I don't want any inventions.
Good. Gary?
Yeah, just the idea that they're cunning devices makes it a more picturesque what the thing does.
They're not cunning anymore.
Well, they used to be cunning. They're getting old now.
They haven't worked.
But they're easier to repent of. Like it used to not be very easy to repent of.
Any additions?
I got a clip of Tilton making his sales pitch why you should make a vow. And the reason you should make a vow is in return for that, God will send you witty inventions. and he's doing this thing with his hand, you know. It's like, he'll send you witty inventions and you'll figure out a way to get out of that problem and make it look.
Did you see yourself?
That's what I bought. Give me some witty. Also, Jackie sent me a photo of Fiona. They're on vacation. It's a photo of Fiona sitting in the lap of a cherub. Did you see it?
Yeah, she sent it to a lot of people.
So this morning when we read that God's sitting between the cherubim, what occurred to me was to be in front of this guy with these things around him and be saying, well, make it sunny today, and then I want a ham sandwich for lunch, and then make this thing work right. It's like all you can do is fall on your face.
Read Psalm 99 and 106 and see that it's not history. It's in you. Man, take a big guy.